where we have the processes of communication being run on a pre-clear, we should be very fully aware of the consequences in terms of somatic, and particularly that part of the auditor's code which says in it, do unto pre-clears, get a direction to get them well by continuing to run the process which is getting change. Now, there's some very weird, weird things in communication processing that you will run into. Fortunately, there is such a scarcity of all points of the communication curves, such scarcity, that it doesn't much matter which side you run. For a while. But then they start balancing themselves out one way or the other, and you have to get more precise as to which side you run. Let me give you a couple of examples. We start running Joe Doakes, and we will discover at once that he will turn on some of the more interesting front-of-the-body somatics. He will turn these on because nobody ever acknowledges anything from behind him. And so we get an unbalanced potential between the front and the back of the body. So that if you continue to run this process on the front of the body only, you will continue to pull things in from the back, and that's what he's been doing for an awfully long time. The more he acknowledges, the more he talks in one direction only, the more somatics he's going to pull in from the back. Now, why did we exteriorize a guy from the rear? Why do we say be 3 feet back of your head instead of 3 feet in front of your face? Do you know that a great many more people would exteriorize if you said be 3 feet in front of your face? They would go out swoosh. What are they traveling on? They're traveling on the stuck one-way flow that has been fixed there. They've been traveling on that consistently and continually. Now, did you ever listen to a tape or a lecture of mine turned around with your back to me? It's very possible that some somatics turned on when you did that. Why would this occur? It is simply because it's such an unusual angle to have acknowledgments and greetings and so forth from. The greeting which one ordinarily gets from behind his head is crunch. Therefore, one distrusts this side of communication entirely, and as he looks back of him, he has a total unreality. This is the first condition that you know will exist with a pre-clear. Let's look at this. We find out that the stuck flow got stuck and stuck and stuck, and finally the privates didn't believe there was a general, and the general didn't believe there were any privates. Now, there is what occurred in the communication line. In other words, that stuck flow passed right straight on through to reality, solid agreement, on through to utter unreality, but still solid. Didn't believe he was there. Didn't believe it was there. What postulate do you suppose people have made about their backs? They just kept on supposing nobody was there. They hoped nobody was there. You see that? So they reduced the reality of the back of the body swiftly. They reduced this reality perforce, quickly, by their own postulates, aiding and abetting the communication formula. Saying, I hope nobody's behind me. Nobody better walk in from that quarter. We have many stories and legends in the society, such as those of Wild Bill Hickok, who was an impervious gent. He used to turn bullets with his teeth with no difficulty whatsoever. I think he did for about 76 men. He was Wild Bill, all right. And Wild Bill Hickok, however, one day, sat down and was dealt a hand, and one of the most despicable little hoods that had ever been spawned in that particular area simply walked up and blew his brains out. Well, he had been fooled by his friends. His friends, by the way, had fooled him by making him sit that one time with his back to the door instead of his back to the wall. Most everybody is more comfortable with his back to the wall than his back to the door. Well, that's hope nobody's there. Well, they keep hoping nobody's there, and it imbalances the body potentials to such a degree as to start flows in the vicinity of the body and chop the body up. Now, this weird segmentation that you run into of the body, right to the left side, as occurs in a paralytic stroke, back to front, top to bottom, is simply communication compartmentation. In other words, cut off of communications. Now, supposing we have one end of the body, one side of the body, the front side, where that everybody is saying, oh my, look, look, everybody, here I am, I'm being presentable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you see, being presentable. And the back side of the body, nobody better be here, don't look. You get that? Now get this, as two different postulates for two different sides of the same organism and see whether or not you get somebody self-auditing eventually. Person is automatically making a game inside the body, isn't he? He's therefore getting an automatic introversion just by the fact that nobody must be behind him and somebody has to be in front of him. And so we get this poor guy eventually worried about himself. Just out of this factor, all by itself, we get him worried about himself. And because there's this much difference of potential, and we got a forward flow reference, Philadelphia Lectures, 1952. Remember Philadelphia Lectures series? The graphs of flow. The thetan lets go for a moment, or loosens up in any way, and all of a sudden he's pushed further forward in the body. And there isn't a cycle alive that you won't find eventually out in front of his face. They go out in front of their faces. Forced by this lack of communication in the rear, necessity for communication in front. And they move on into the less tortured, less solid area, driven by the discharges of the stuck flow. In other words, the thetan is overtly, simply by body potentials, driven forward, first into the body, then through the body, and then out in front. And when he gets out in front, then he doesn't know what the dickens he's doing. It's a very hard thing to be out in front of a body and to put your visio lines back to the optic nerves. This is hard to do. It's very hard to be out in front of the body and do everything on a reverse basis, handle the body controls. So they stop handling the body entirely. And of course, then when you start processing one of these boys, although a thetan is probably 3 feet in front of his face as a person, he has even disowned being himself, and he is not the body, and nothing is in control. Psychosis could simply be said, I am out of control of this manifestation. So if you got far enough out in front of the body, of course you'd run out of control of it, certainly, wouldn't you? Now, a person is as well in control of the body as he is situated where he can address immediately the scene before him and the control centers, both in the same direction of sight. Now, let's watch you sitting on a truck, driving the truck while sitting on the tailboard. Wouldn't that be interesting? Let's have a couple of little periscopes. Let's fix it up so that you actually can sit on the tailboard of the truck and look forward as to where the truck is going. Let's fix that up. Do you realize that you still have to handle the controls of the truck in some weird and impossible fashion? See, everything is the other way, too. Now, we don't say that a thetan can't look both ways. But remember, the body, the truck, is looking. It's the one that imposes this. It's looking in a certain direction, isn't it? Well, now, you could drive a truck from the tailgate with great ease if you simply could look at the road and look at the controls, both in the same direction, and yet could monitor the controls. It would be as easy to drive this truck from the tail as from the seat, actually. But not if you thought you were facing the other way. Well, did you ever watch cattle in a high wind? They don't walk into it, horses and so forth. They turn their faces away from it, don't they? What is this energy flow, a difference of potentials, but a sort of high wind? See, it's a high wind that's passing from the back massive potential, you see. No communication equals barrier. Barrier equals potential discharge on an electronic basis. All right, so we have this potential discharge sitting behind the guy, and we have an area to discharge into sitting in front of the guy because it's being vanquished all the time. In other words, it's being melted down, you might say. He's saying hello, and he's thinking, and other people are saying things to him, and he's drinking and saying hello to the bottle. And you know, he's in communication up here. He's not in communication back there, and so we get this forward flow. It's a high wind to a thetan. And he will fight against it so long, trying to shut off the back, the flow. But now all of a sudden, he decides that there isn't anything he can do about this flow anyhow. It's out of control. At this moment, he'll find himself facing the direction of flow. The cattle finally evolve into buffalo, and buffalo always face into the wind. This is a wild one. Buffalo's got no sense at all. No sense at all. And he'll stick his face into the wind. Any norther starts blowing. As a matter of fact, he's tried to compensate for it now by growing hair up around his haunches and the forward part of his body, his shoulders, so that he can brave this, meanwhile, with his wind, with the wind tearing his eyeballs out. This is the state of a thetan who is having a hard time controlling the body. What does this have to do with ability? Supposing you were standing on the tailgate of a truck and running the truck perfectly competently. Now, supposing you're out in front of the truck and you're looking back at the motor, back at the controls, and you're just faced in that direction fixedly, and you're supposed to drive this truck forward towards yourself, who would you think was under attack? You'd sure think you were. And what's going to happen? The first thing that gets bitten there is thee. The body could be called a barricade, a barrier, something to protect an individual, a thetan. Well, it certainly doesn't protect him anymore when he's out in front of it, looking back at the face, trying to monitor the motor control centers. It certainly doesn't make sense to him anymore. He's under attack. This body is not protecting him. He has to get rid of it, etc. He can't control it. It can't control anything else. It can't protect it from anything. And there he is. Basically, where did all this begin? Well, it began by a lack of acknowledgement on the part of a body of the presence of a thetan who had spoken to it. That's where it began. That's actually the facts. That is where the whole trouble started. There's this body standing there, you know, an animal. And it was standing there, and Thetan says, "What are you doing around here?" The Thetan says, "What the hell are you doing around here?" "Hey, I'm talking to you," spat. The instant he tried to touch that much no communication, he went out of communication. You will find these facsimiles sitting around the track in any preclear. He'll have a bright visio of a body standing there. It's a stuck visio. Right after it, there is blackness. He moves from an area of communication, where he is possibly communicating, you see. It's possible for him to communicate. Into an area of relatively low communication. And the first thing that this will do to him is tell him that he's out of communication. And he will go into a sort of an apathy about the whole thing. He'll say, "Look, I'm out of communication." The moment you put a beam on a body to swat it or nip it or something like that, you're in trouble because it's an out-of-communication mechanism, and so is a trap of sorts. Now we have somebody inside a body, and we say to him, "How are you, Joe?" As an auditor, we get into the same damn condition that Thetan got into when he was outside trying to make that body talk, right? Huh? Only we're civilized enough so that we don't go swap. We simply take his valence and somatic. any ally that your preclear is interiorized into valence-wise, any ally, was badly out of communication if there has been a swap of valences. Look that over. Any ally whose characteristics your preclear has was an out-of-communication character, and yet this preclear will remember that this ally was kind, friendly, good to him, that this person did speak to him, did greet him, did listen to his troubles, yap, until we start running the communication formula. You say, all right, have that ally stand up there, have grandma stand up there and start saying, okay. Why, she never said okay in her life. She never said yes or no or okay or anything like that. When I ran into this actual case, I had the preclear say, had the ally say yes and no. Just those two things, yes and no. All of a sudden, the preclear says, you know, because this preclear was very indefinite, you'd ask this preclear, do you want a drink of water? Preclear was obviously in that ally's valence, you see. Some ally's valence who was very unpositive. So I just started looking around for allies and had him mark up one saying yes and no. Just as a wild shot in the dark and hit it right square on the head. And this preclear says, you know, that person had no dignity at all. Grandpa had no dignity. None. Because never gave a positive answer to anything. Anytime you'd come in and say anything to Grandpa, he'd give you a lot of drivel. It was all super conditional. Everything was all conditional on all other things, and these things were conditional on other things, and he'd tell you all about the conditions, and you'd finally walk off without any yes or no. And eventually, I got kind of frantic trying to get Grandpa to say something about something. When Grandpa ran out, there was his communication freak. He would answer, he would greet, he would originate communications, he'd tell stories, he was a nice guy, but the only thing that he did that was completely off the beat was some sort of an obsessive explanatory line instead of an acknowledgement. A conditional acknowledgement. There was no actual communication inflow. And all there was a conditional sort of a blather outflowing. Well, you remember what happened the last time I gave you a nickel. See? Grandpa, can I have a nickel? Well, you remember the last time I gave you a nickel. You remember what happened. You got that bag of candy and you got in trouble with your mother. And so forth and so forth and so forth and so forth and so forth. I remember when I was a little boy, I had to get out and polish shoes every time I wanted a nickel. And yappity-yappity-yappity-yappity-yappity-yappity-yappity-yappity-yappity-yap. Until the subject of the conversation was either forgotten or Grandpa would simply hand over a nickel after saying for 15 minutes that there was no slightest possibility of doing this, you see. And this trick all by itself it was aided and abetted with the fact that Mama was continually telling this particular preclear that he mustn't be like Grandpa, making an enforcement on the other side. But actually, this communication block was the main factor. Because when it was resolved, he all of a sudden went out of Grandpa's valence. Flip! He says, it's very funny. He's going away. He's going away. Where the hell is he? He all of a sudden did a separation of universes. Now, remember how long we worked for a separation of universes with 8D? Long time. Well, communication processing will give you a separation of universes in rather a short period of time. Now let's get back and look at this thing then, and we find out that this individual is very forcefully stuck face on. See, he's stuck toward the face and not much stuck toward the back, and if he's not much stuck toward the back, then he's going to be driven from the back, isn't he? If he never puts his attention upon his back, he's going to be driven away from his back. Here is a process which exteriorizes preclear consistently. I won't say at how many hours, but it's a very finite number of hours. You merely have hello and goodbye, hello and goodbye, and yes and no, and okay and all right behind him. And you just run it behind him for a little while, and next thing you know, he's starting to get calm. You wonder why he's getting calm. As a thetan, he's no longer holding on to these masses of energy, which are holding on to masses of energy, which are holding on to masses of energy, because he's liable to slip out through the front of his face. And this in itself is a tension and an anxiety. So let's just take this body pole, which is the most non-communication area of the body. If you've noticed while I've been running these processes on you in a group, you've gotten quite often bad somatics back here on the back of the head or the neck. I was making the back of the head say hello there in one group processing session. That's a horrible thing to have happen. The funny part of it is, when you knock flat that back potential of the body, several things occur to the body. It is not a natural state of affairs for the body to be faced so thoroughly forward. Not a natural state of affairs. The body should be able to relax, should be able to dance backwards and move backwards. And did you ever run into a dancing partner that could not dance backwards? You girls, you guys, I wonder if you ever dance backwards. Girl has no other choice. She's always being pushed backwards by her partner. That's right, isn't it? All right. If you were to just reduce this, now let's forget about a thetan, and let's just look at this object called a body. And if you were to reduce from behind the body this tremendously solid potential that's there, so as to reduce this flicker and flow. You find out a little kid doesn't have this, by the way. It's not there. He holds his looks rather well, and right up to the age, maybe of, not necessarily everybody, but majority, hold the body shape very well up to 21, something like that. And then something starts happening to the body shape. What does happen to the body shape? This back potential is charging up, charging up, charging up. No communication, no communication. And the front of the body is outflowing, 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 outflowing. And the body starts to distort. Face, chest, so forth, all start to distort. Now you want to put that back in shape again? You want to put that back in shape again? Well, all you'd have to do would be to run hello, goodbye, and okay, and so on, just have him keep mopping him up. Have the back of his head say hello a few times to the small of his back, and the small of his back acknowledge. And you'll find out that with great ease, he'll go into a scattering. And this you must keep him out of. He'll go into a scattering of communication. Great ease. Something is saying yes, and something else is saying no, and something is saying hello, and the acknowledgement pattern, the curves aren't being run at all, and it just starts to get more and more random. So you have to start policing a preclear. Why does it get this random? Well, that is why it is a bundle or a mass. It is that random, you see. It was so random that it eventually balled up into a ball. And so we would simply reduce this mass of energy at a person's back and tell him to be 3 feet out of his head. That's very modern exteriorization. We just work on it until we reduce this mass of energy. We don't worry about pushing him out of his face. Of course, the fact of the matter is he could go on out of his face. But do you know that if he has to desert this body without exerting his control over it or without being in control of it, he will exteriorize in such a degraded state that you won't be able to do anything with him. He'll go back in, too. So let's look it over and find out that most people are making a game out of the body by having half of the body, just mechanically, one half of the body being against the other half of the body. The front half of the body has to resist backwards, of course, against this flow, which is there. The back of the body feels as though it's pressing forward and is trying to attack the front of the body, giving people a sort of a manic attitude about life. They have to get going. They don't have any time. They have to get things done. They're being driven. You see all these oddities of computation that could result. Well, the final analysis is that the body does not have to be a set of electrical potentials of this artificial character. It has a set of electrical potentials, and you could take these apart with the communication formula. These potentials, however, are its anchor points. And these anchor points are corroded to the degree that they are out of communication. Quite cute. See, they're as black and as forgotten as they are out of communication. So as you're running toward a person's back, you'll find that eventually the tractor character of the body itself, the in-pull, like gravity of the body itself, when released, permits the anchor points of the body to go out where they belong. Where do they belong? Well, there's one planet up the line which has a body type not unlike Homo sapiens, not unlike it. Possibly there are many anatomical differences. Maybe the glandular system is differently placed or something like this, you know, that could be. But it's two eyes, two arms, two legs, very good physical form from a Greek standpoint. From a human being standpoint, here on Earth, one would look at these people with considerable amazement and say, my Lord, where did that beautiful man come from? Where did that beautiful woman come from? Whee! Well, I wouldn't know exactly, never having taken a foot rule from Earth to this other planet, what the relative size is. I wouldn't be able to tell you. I believe, though, from relative gravities and so forth, that these people are maybe just a little bit bigger, maybe 7 feet tall, something like that. But their anchor points are miles out. Miles out. And Homo sap has his anchor points feet out, and when the fellow's in pretty good shape, they're yards out. When they're in pretty good shape, they're yards out. But it's quite an amazing difference here, quite an amazing difference. Now, if you can get somebody's anchor points out to something like a decent, proper, or normal, not a normal, but a decent or proper range, you would find out that his comfort would markedly increase. He'd be more comfortable. He would also be more calm, and the body would be far more obedient and much less afraid. All right, the mechanical aspect simply of an individual talking or communicating front all the time will eventually wind the body up in the soup. But what do we care about this? What do we care about? If we know communication processing, we don't give a damn about how much we would outflow in one direction. We wouldn't care how many stuck flows we set up around. There's no liability to a stuck flow. So you look around and you find the flow's stuck, so you throw some hellos into it. You throw some acknowledgments into it. Or you just patch it up. The routine procedure of auditing would be to exteriorize somebody and put him in pretty good condition and make his liability of being snatched up again by the body rather less, huh? Well, if you put a pre-clear into that condition, then you'd have him there, wouldn't you? And supposing you had processed him a lot on this process, he really couldn't help but learn how to do this process. Sooner or later along the line, he'd get a little bit cocky or triumphant about this thing, you know. He won't care what he gets into. Runs into a theta trap, starts to knock his valence around one way or the other, starts having the corners of the trap say hello. Okay, thank you, goodbye. Satan will be able to say goodbye. Theta trap. The hell's the theta trap? Get the idea? Now, naturally, with a good, solid, workable process, you would get toward a good, solid, workable existence. But remember something. A Thetan loves a game. And this is where it all gets booby-trapped, beautiful. He loves a game. He'll accept this impossible goofball condition of opposite terminals on the body, both smashed together real tight, everything out of communication, and flows going in all directions, and death and old age, and by the way, I'll make a remark there, old age is directly traceable to the imbalance of potential terminals in the body. Imbalance of terminal potentials in the body, to be more accurate. You say, this is old age. This is old age, too. The cells don't get old. The body is doing what it is supposed to do. It thinks, run this cycle, you see. And, however, it is aided and assisted by these buildups to such a very marked degree that it is, these buildups will increase its agedness. Let's take such a thing as a few wrinkles in the face, something like that. They are held there by these non-communication ridges. And if you want to knock them out, why just knock out the opposite ridge? But let me give you a very positive clue in processing this. Another slight aside here. There's a positive thing about processing this. He is normally least fixated upon the most damaging terminal. It has already gone through the cycle of utter unreality. To utter unreality. See that? It is already utterly unreal, the most damaging terminal there is, and it is outflowing at him. It is driving him away from it. These hollow spots in the body, these hollow spots, these non-existent parts of the body, these anesthetized areas of the body and so forth, will be looked upon as fairly safe by the preclear because he doesn't believe anything is there. And then start processing them, and my golly, they get more darn solid than anything he has ever experienced, and painful. Now, let's take a case of gallstones that turns on and off. You know, all of a sudden one day the guy has gallstones, and then he gets better, and then he has gallstones, and then he gets better, and he has another attack of gallstones.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
The opposite is happening there to what you would think. There is an out-of-communication area in the vicinity of the gallbladder, which is, you know, it's real out-of-communication. The guy starts to go into contact with it by a jolt or something like this. He starts to go into contact with it, starts communication with it, and then flicks right away and stops communication. And he gets a gallbladder attack. Why? He reactivated it into some solidity, and it dramatizes solidity for a little while, and he says that's too painful, goes out of communication with it again, and the gallbladder attack subsides. What do you think is going to happen in processing? Well, if you were to just take a lick on a promise with this process and then walk away, your preclear is liable to get sick from something. So what? He's just a preclear, but at the same time, he's liable to get sick from something. So when you start to run out a process of this character, you must be very well aware of the fact that you should continue it until it is very flat. As I told you earlier in this lecture, you want to make very, very sure that you run it as long as there's process change going on. And that can be quite a while. You don't have to run it all in the same session, but you certainly should get back at it again. Don't be surprised if he developed aches, pains, and ills that he had never heard of before, as far as he was concerned, while a process is being run. So what? If he thought it over, he would remember faintly and vaguely having had a twist of this when he was a kid. So he would remember this. Now, areas then which are unreal and which have gone entirely out of communication are the danger areas. All right, now let's take up the rest of this thing called communication. This is a heck of a thing we're into because the recognition of anything and the communication with anything to any degree at all is going to result in peace, not war. The harmful masses, the various factors which can fight a person or which a person can fight, these things are all going to get down into a very low state of action. No conflict. This may be bad. made me real bad from your pretty clear standpoint, who was losing his game. If all the game he thought he had was this game of swapping terminals inside the body. Well, I just can't go to work today. My lumbago hurts too much. Game.
Big game.
We have such a character around, and it is a peculiarly, well, it's a fact, not around this operation, but I mean there's one around town, that I could get hold of and process with no difficulty at all. All I have to do is just start telling them to go east and west, as the case may be, and touch a few walls, and this person start on out of it. He'd find some other terminals besides these body terminals to fool around with. But this person is beneath my game acceptance level quite markedly. This person makes the most fabulous game out of a somatic. Just fabulous. You never saw so much invested interest. So many ramifications developing out of a hangnail. They just go on and on and on. This person blames his ills for every tragedy that occurs throughout the land. Pope gets sick, it must have been because he had a bum foot. I mean, he's real bad off from this standpoint. This boy's body must be the most seething mass of mismatched and imbalanced terminals anybody ever ran into. But he sure makes a game out of it. Remember that some certain determinism can exist around this subject of the game. Therefore, if we start discharging body terminals madly, at random, knocking them all out, we might, not necessarily true that we would, but we might run into a scarcity of game. So you would have to come in with this process, mock up somebody else inventing some games for you, or mock up somebody else inventing some games, which will demonstrate to him immediately an enormous resistance to games which other people invent. These are dangerous. Or invent some games, just the preclear. Of course, it's the preclear that's inventing the games all the way around, but he's got it figured out as a game on how we invent games. We could also have him have other people invent games, have somebody else invent games for other people. I mean, we could run a full bracket on this. Just because we have moved this far into communication is no reason why we have utterly deserted some of the factors which we know about, such as brackets and so forth. All right. As soon as he started doing this, you would probably develop some of the larger comm lags. Now, what's curious is that you would process him into communication physically and then discover a comm lag on games had increased. That is curiosity. See this? This is a real curiosity. We start processing him, and we have him mocking up origins, acknowledgments, answers, and we just have him doing fine, and he's just going along swimmingly. And obviously, this person should be getting into better and better communication. On the process that we are running on him, his lag is getting less and less and less. He's getting in better and better shape, obviously. Obviously. And then we say, invent a game. And we find out that if we'd asked him this question before he started this process, and we may, this isn't necessarily true, but I have observed this, limited number of cases, about three cases. I had a shorter lag on invent some games before I ran communication processing. And after I had him run communication processing for a while, we had really developed some honey, some beautiful communication lags, just on one subject only, games. Well, we have just been chewing up all of his automaticity on the subject of games with communication processing. Because remember, to have a game, you have to cut communications. That's the first thing you've got to do. One of the first actions in a war, one of the more nonsensical games. The war is nonsensical because the people who are being made to play it haven't been asked. That's the only thing wrong with a war. I remember this thing, greetings, that was being sent out by Selective Service and by draft boards in other lands and so forth. Was not necessarily an invitation to a game. It didn't say in it any place that you have the... There was no RSVP on it. It was not. Not one. I looked them over. Looked them over very carefully. As a matter of fact, I had so many more interesting things to do in 1940 and 41 that the introduction of a war at that time was not according to my plan or calendar. And it was very upsetting to me and so on. And I remember telling, I wasn't drafted, I just knew what inevitably would occur and I'd better have something to do with it. And but I remember that I'd better have something to do with it while I still had some free choice in the matter, rather than afterwards when I didn't have any. And I remember very well telling the admiral in charge of the Navy Yard where I reported in, picked up a commission, you're going to have a war, and I am at least trying to exercise some discretion as to what part I am playing in this war, and that's the only reason I am here. And he said, "A war? Nonsense." July the 25th, 1941. "War," he says, "war." I said, "Yes." I said, "You have a very great scarcity of officers, Admiral. Did you know that?" "Well, nonsense, we're training 12 a month." "12 a month he was training." Well, anyway, he didn't ask anybody whether or not he... nobody asked anybody whether or not they would like to play this game, and I think self-determinism gets violated in the war. Maybe the only thing we find wrong with war is war's alternate name would be violation of self-determinism. It's a peculiar kind of a game. But the first thing they do when they declare war is to go out and cut everybody's cables. Of course, when Santo Domingo was almost at war with the U.S. and was at war with the U.S. and so forth, I remember a report coming in that they even, when they haven't got any cables to cut, they even invent them. A fellow came in and reported to intelligence down there in Santo Domingo that the wireless to the United States had been cut. Native, he's a very sincere fellow. He was trying to get the game on the road, too. In other words, cut communications. This is the first act, first dramatization of a nation involved in war. It severs entirely communication with the enemy, which is a silly thing, to say the least, but it couldn't have a war if it didn't. It imposes immediate censorship boards on all cables. Those cables which it doesn't censor, it simply overtly goes out and digs up and cuts in half. The Indian declaring war on the white man, and the white man civilization and so forth, was always at work cutting his telegraph lines. It's necessary to cut communications in order to have a war. It's necessary to cut communications in order to have a reduction in determinism. Remember, there's a parallel fact there. The area you can determine or influence is directly regulated by the amount of communication you have into that area, no matter how painful it may be to you. Remember that. The determinism of the actions in that area directly and immediately depends upon the amount of communication you've got into that area. And the answer is more communication, not less. Now, you can ignore... you can ignore, bypass, forget about, and so on, a certain type of communication if you have nerve enough to continue to ignore it. How much nerve does that take? In the case of a body, a tremendous amount. You could ignore it, you see, if you're willing to take the kickback. But you can't cut communications with it. Now, do we get the difference between cutting communication and ignoring communication? There is a distinct difference. I see all too often people in the HASI confusing these two points. They don't know what it is to ignore communication as compared to cutting communication. You would let a communication line you were ignoring simply flow. You see, you would just let it flow. You simply wouldn't pay any attention to it. You would find that if you could do this, and if you could bear the fact that it was continuing to flow, and if you just didn't pay any attention to it at all, it would get thinner and thinner and weaker and weaker, and for lack of a term, it'll expire. It'd be something like the tentacle of an octopus reaching for you while you were in a cave, you see. If you could ignore it. But if you started to fight it so as to cut it off, you would, of course, be in immediate contact with it, wouldn't you? Cutting communication almost always dictates the policy of going into communication on an overt level. This is entirely different than ignoring a communication. It's almost impossible to really ignore a communication, but cutting one is to fight it, chop it, locate it, get active about it. See? Cut communication can be a very interesting game, very adventurous. But it makes a game, and it makes a fight, and it makes another determinism, and you will find out that you are no longer capable of determining the action of that thing which you were trying to cut the communications of, or which you were ignoring. You will find yourself unable to determine the action of it. That's a fascinating fact. If you start to go out of communication with the body, you see the practices of Gautama, Buddha, and so forth are all based on ignoring the communication. And that's a very frail type of process. Don't think of separateness, don't think of space, don't think of energy. He has about 12 categories there, and you mustn't think of any one of these things, and if you do, why, you'll be in, I don't know, crystal heaven or something of the sort, with no ado, no more ado, you'll be there. Yes, that's absolutely true. The thoroughness of ignoring communication, however, to this degree, is an impossible degree for nearly everyone. And for that reason, you have not had here on earth much success evolving from Eastern philosophies and practices. They are very unsuccessful because they're based on ignoring communication. See, I will sit here on this bed of spikes, Fakirism, or I will sit here on this mountaintop and just be alone, silent, quiet, ignoring all the ills and everything. And out I will fly, but my buddies in this particular field discovered another phrase they could have said after they'd done that for a while. Down I will spin. Now, therefore and thereby and therein and thereas, communicating overtly with something brings about a determinism. If you desire to communicate, not punish, if you desire to communicate and then merely start, stop, change, in other words, the monitor of control, still keeping in mind the fact that it will survive too, you could very easily determine the course and existence of such an entity as the German Reich or the Kremlin. No difficulty with this. It's fighting it. It's cutting the communication with it. It's being overt about how we mustn't communicate with this, you see, that piles up energy which is not channeled and has no place to go, and so makes masses, so makes screams, makes detachments and separatenesses by energy, uses energy to make things separate. You see how this would be. We start fighting communication with the German Reich. We start fighting communication with the Kremlin. And they'll build up energy ridges and energy ridges and energy ridges. The only thing that could happen as a good end of this would be that eventually Russia would forget all about the Western Hemisphere, and the Western Hemisphere would forget all about Russia. They wouldn't even know they existed. There'd just be this enormous energy ridge. Then someday somebody would accidentally go into communication with this unknown something or other, you see, and it would start to discharge in its direction, and then there'd be hell to pay for a short time till they got the dam up again. And you'd get the same thing as a psychosomatic illness with an unknown cause. Russia would be suffering certain difficulties internally. She would start suffering fascinating little difficulties inside the government and with its trade and with other things. Definitely, she would know she was sick every once in a while. You know, there'd be these kind of convulsions. So would the United States. So would the Western culture discover itself slightly in difficulty every now and then and would not quite be able to trace exactly how this would be. But this would be the result of a thoroughly cut communication line, overtly held cut, too. Now let's take the other part of it and find out if that Russia were anxious and able, if she were really able to go into communication with the United States and were to continue in communication with the United States on a very direct line. All the kinds of activities one could engage in to continue this communication line, we would find out eventually that any animosity would blow up in smoke and any control they were trying to exert on the United States would be a survival control. They would be upset because looked like we had a depression coming on, and their economic experts would sit around and wonder what they ought to do about it. You see? Similarly, the United States would become concerned that the Ukraine wheat crop wasn't quite so good, and we might even engage in sending over some wheat experts or something of the sort to do something about this. You know, such a communication line as this had already begun in the late 20s. We were sending a great many engineers into Russia. But the difficulty was they were not sent in with the government's blessing. They were sent in. They were hired by Russia. The communication was instigated by Russia. It was not by free offer on the part of the U.S. government. In other words, the communication was somewhat limited. Then we started to go into communication very overtly with Russia during the war, didn't we? Started into communication, made it partial, drew off, and so set up a psychosomatic illness known as Iron Curtainism. The Iron Curtain was the result of partial and then withdrawn communication. All right, let's say you're pre-clear. Your preclear wants to get out of his body. The way to get out of his body isn't ignoring it. The way to get out of his body would be to control it in a survival direction. Control it, not to harm it, but to make it live. And once he had reached anything like success along this line, move out of it? Why, I should say so. There'd be no trick moving out of it. Move out of my body? I'm not in it. This would be the immediate response. See how this would work. But an individual would have to be in very free communication of it. Now listen, a fight can't exist in the presence of communication. It can't. A two-way communication cycle starts running, a fight will evaporate. Chinese recognize this, saw a couple of coolies fighting. One of them says, yap, yap, and the other one says, yap, yap. Chinese friend speaks up and on the query as to whether or not these, why they weren't hitting each other. And the Chinese friend says, man who strikes first blow, admit he run out of ideas. Any time you get a two-way cycle of communication going, it'll go off into a big mutter. Men don't talk themselves into a further fight. They can only one way flow themselves into a further fight. If Mama or Little Roger had any idea at all of establishing communication with the other party involved, there would be no domestic uproar. I had an example of this. Maid yesterday had an awful trouble keeping Diana off the Christmas tree. I had already installed all around the bottom of the Christmas tree an enormous number of plastic balls and bells that could be taken off madly. They had her real beaten down by last night. And so this morning I spent a little time making sure that we had a two-way communication on the subject of this tree. Two-way communication. In other words, there was a one-way communication going there which resulted in a war, a break of communications, you see. And it broke communications between Diana and a maid, a babysitter who was there yesterday rather than the regular maid, and Diana and the tree, and the tree and Diana. These are all separate. See. First thing Diana does this morning is get herself nicely stabbed with some of the tree needles. Go on. So we had a long talk about the Christmas tree while I was eating breakfast. And we had a long, involved conversation and took some balls off of it and put some balls on the Christmas tree. And I kept nagging her to get acknowledgments of what I was saying, and finally she started nagging me to get acknowledgments of what I was saying. Next thing you know, she started to look more alert and very happy about the whole thing. She took a few balls off the Christmas tree and put a few balls on and went off and played with something else. She was in control of the Christmas tree. This is an obvious fact. I imagine this is why a lot of people get upset about Christmas. They have been hit in the head too often with a Christmas tree. All right, as we look over the general program of auditing in relationship to communication, we discover that it is the principle of the auditor to get the pre-clear into communication with anything the pre-clear is not in communication with. Now, let's say an auditor was doing domestic relations. It's an interesting thing, but you know, you could go out and set yourself up a shot. Domestic relations, you could be quite successful at it, too. The gag in settling such a thing would not be to advise the husband to leave the wife or the wife to leave the husband or give a bunch of advice on the situation. The way to handle the situation would simply be to get both parties present and start them into communication with each other and referee that communication line and make sure that full communication existed on both sides. In other words, make sure that anything that was originated was listened to, that anything that was listened to was answered, and any answer given was acknowledged, and then reverse end too. And you could actually force two people, you say, the use of force. It would merely be the fact that they were there to be helped anyhow. They would serve as the force. You know what you're doing. You're going to just referee this. You're just going to get the husband then to say hello to the wife. This is as dumb as this, you'll say. Not state your complaints, but to get him to say hello to the wife, and then make the wife sit still long enough to have hello said to you, see? And then have her answer back with anything. Just have her say, okay. And then have him nod when she said it. And then have her say, how are you? And have him sit still and then answer back, I'm okay. And then have her acknowledge the fact you've been answered. You'd have a rough beef there for a little while. They'd both try to blow the session and so forth. But when they wound up, they would find out that they were fairly good friends. Now, knowing the full communication formula is very aidative, one might say, in living a relatively unaberrated life. If you just went on around, just knew it and sort of built it into your social activities along this line. I tried this the other day, by the way. You might find this amusing. A fellow had been talking at me for some time. He'd been talking at me, and he'd been off the beat about what he was talking about. And I finally tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, you know that you have not gotten any answer from me yet. Grind, crunch. And I said, yes, now just pause a moment and I will answer you. Now the fellow wondered if I was crazy or something of the sort. And then he says, okay. And I said, well, that's just fine. You're perfectly right, what you've been saying. And he started to go off on again. I said, wait a minute, did you hear what I said? And he says, yeah. I said, okay. Now, I said, it's my turn to originate a communication. And this guy acted for a little while so bashed in by this whole deal that he was a little bit unsettled, and he knew that the Hubbard was one of these psychology fellers or something of the sort. He wasn't quite sure. That I did originate a brief communication and back again. And about 15 or 20 minutes later, we parted and we were very good friends. He'd completely forgotten that he thought I was crazy. See, we were very good friends and he was in communication. He was actually stopping to get an answer. And I imagine that's the first time in 20 years he's ever stopped to get an answer. Or the first time he's ever been forced to answer something that somebody said to him directly. Well, this is very punitive, wasn't it? I mean, it wasn't processing the man. I wasn't processing, I was simply enforcing communication, you know, sort of on this basis, you know. All right, I got, we had a very nasty situation here the other day. Had nothing to do with the organization, but definitely had to do with personalities involved in man. And some fellow did something, not part of the organization, which was a very bad thing. Everybody was keeping him definitely out of communication, and they had definite ideas about what should happen to him, see? All right, I plowed him into communication again and told him he had to straighten this situation up, told him what he had to do, made him listen, made him acknowledge the fact that he has heard, then made him originate his explanation of the situation, and so forth. He was goofy enough, spinny enough, so it was very, very difficult for him to get into any groove on a two-way communication. But having simply enforced two-way communication upon him, this fellow all of a sudden changed all of his attitudes concerning this whole situation and rushed down to the hospital where this victim was and apologized and is in communication with the people involved and is going to pay the bills involved and so forth. All this by simply demanding that a two-way communication take place. In other words, the way to resolve the situation was communication. But again, remember that we sure took a game away from him. He didn't necessarily want this game, but we sure took a game away from him. The game of righteous jealousy and so forth was all snapped out of his hands in a hurry. But it wasn't snapped out of his hands by arguing with him, or by arresting him, or by beating him up, or anything of this character. It was out of his hands in a very simple way. It was simply talking to the guy and making him talk, see? Bang, bang, bang. With no violence offered of any character. People do not offer violence in the face of communication ordinarily. Now, on these body terminals, anything has anything to do with body terminals. We have known for a long time the reason the Thetan didn't exteriorize and the reason he went back in had to do with body flows. With the anatomy of communication, we have discovered body flow patterns and the resolution of them directly by addressing and knocking out of existence antipathetic terminals. And we've really solved exteriorization when we've done this, you see. We've known for a long, long time that body flow patterns or masses were responsible for non-exteriorization. So the clue to this is to handle the terminals and know these obsessive or compulsive flows inside the body. Quiet that all down, square it all away. And remembering at the same time that our boy is going to be minus just that many games, because every one of those terminals at one time or another was a known game. It was sitting right out here in the material universe at one time. And then he kept as a token, and then he mocked it up and put it out of sight. And then he hid it, and then he didn't even know what it was, and it wasn't real to him anymore, but it's an old game. And every psychosomatic ill, every disturbing facsimile, anything you can think of is still an old game. Do you imagine what kind of a game it was? The FAC-1 game? Just think of it for a moment as a game. You know, it's your pre-clear, FAC-1'd as many people as he was FAC-1'd. He was given a game from some other source. Now, something on the matter of games. Games from other sources have landed your preclear in a great deal of trouble, so one of the rougher things to process and something you have to process is make somebody else mock up games for him. He has to get over this antipathy. This is his sole objection to games. He has no real objection to games which he himself plays. But he has an objection to games which he's being asked to play, because these he's found dangerous. He's within his memory, just on the tip of his recall. He walked into a place, he was on leave or something of the sort, and there was this place, and it said, "We need volunteers," or something of the sort. And he walked in through this large portal, and there was this huge glowing stone sitting in the middle of a big room. And he walked into, and he looked at it, and that's the last thing he knew. It was somebody else's game. Next thing you know, he was here on Earth. Zoom, zoom, bang, bang. So he has an antipathy to other people's games. You must process these two things together. These two things have to be processed together. If they are not processed together, your preclear will do anything to flip or foul up in some fashion, reinteriorize, get himself involved in trouble one way or the other, go out and drive madly down the street so he can get arrested, and any kind of weird thing that he himself will not quite be able to rationalize, because remember, he doesn't know the principles that you know. Okay.